Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
If the resistance compromises it, we are doomed.
There's nothing we can't do.
It's real.
Burn it.
Cleric, I can only hope one day to be as uncompromising as you.
Welcome to Rewatchability. We are a podcast on the Entertainment One Podcast Network. I am Robert LaRonde. With me, as always, is...
Blaine Waters, with no emotion.
Today we have a very bland podcast for you.
I could take it or leave it. It doesn't give me any sense of joy nor pain.
Oh shit, I'm laughing.
Oh no, you're gonna die now. I have to cut my own face off.
Oh, okay.
Oh jeez.
I'm Robert LaRonde. Did we say that part already? Oh, yeah.
We did, and I'm Blaine Waters, but let's say it again with emotion this time.
With some feeling.
Rewatchability.
One more time with feeling, like John Bon Jovi would say. Of course, he was incinerated.
I love that. I mean, people should have known what movie we're doing from clicking on it, but if you don't know what this movie is about at all, you're just like, what are these guys going on about? What is this?
No, well, we have a very important movie to talk about, but before we get into that, first of all, we want to thank our Patreons. Those are the people who give us that joy, je veux vivre. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, the je veux vivre.
Je veux vivre.
Rural gerber.
They give us the spark of life in the form of small donations of $1, $3, $5 a month. And in return, they get the podcast early and ad-free. And sometimes There's some bonus content. So if you'd like to support us, the way to do that is to go to patreon.com/rewatchability and sign up there. You can also do...
And most of the bonus content is just us trying to pronounce things. That's pretty
right.
Fun.
That's right.
Jean Bavovi. Damn it.
Today we have... I mean, this is, it's not a big movie. It's not. It's not a special movie. It's a movie that some would consider like a cult film, you know, a little underrated. And, you know, we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss the balance of it all. We'll discuss the equilibrium.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
We knew it was coming.
I worked the title into a sentence. It is the...
You know what? I'm going to leave. I'm going to... Bail.
That's good, too.
All right.
I digs that.
Mortimer. Damn it.
But it is the 2002 movie directed by Kurt Wimmers, starring Christian Bale and Taye Diggs. And Blaine, when was the first time that you saw Equilibrium? When was the first time that you felt Equilibrium?
First of all, why is it called Equilibrium? Because they are balanced in their emotions. They have no emotions. They can't be balanced if they have no emotions. They can't be. Or is it Equilibrium because everyone's equal, although everyone's different heights and weights?
and there is this like elite warrior class That's the most equal of all.
I know all of this is weird. What happened is
explain yourself.
Is that in the early 2000s, late 90s, kids, if you were an adult too, you could do it. You would take your computer and it'd have a CD drive in it. You put a CD in it and you'd rip a movie onto the CD, an AVI file. And then you would take that with you and it would be like you have a movie on CD.
Have you checked the statute of limitations? Because you could be incriminating yourself.
Would I download a car? I think that was just Ontario that had that ad. Anyway.
I heard about Blaine downloading movies. Should I have turned him in? Undoubtedly.
He should be burning right now. Yeah, I burned this CD, which actually, instead of destroying it, created it. And then I had like a book of CDs that were movies that I'd watch in my dorm room or my girlfriend's dorm room at the time. Because I could not afford a dorm room. But
can we watch Equilibrium, babe? It's my TV, Blaine. Can't we watch what I want to watch for once?
Oh man, no. I had the other ones that were, because it was like the ones that you couldn't get in the video store.
Right.
I had burned onto CD, so it was like Human Nature.
Ooh,
remember that one?
Yeah.
So things like that, and then also Not Another Teen Movie, because I just liked it so much. But Blaine, this one I had, and I didn't really find it in the video store. You know, it wasn't at Queen Video when I went to look. So it was one of those things that I was like, hey, if you like The Matrix, check out this movie that's really trying very, very hard to be The Matrix. And, you know, back then I thought gun katas were kind of cool. And I thought that kid from Empire of the Sun, which was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid, grew up. And Newsies, he grew up and he became a cleric. It's pretty cool. So,
wait, that was the first time that you'd seen Christian Bale as an adult?
Maybe?
Wow.
I don't know if he was on my radar. Like, he was, I just feel like he was the kid that I saw in Newsies.
Okay.
And I don't know what major film he did before this. Maybe The Machinist?
Yeah, I'm not maybe. Sure about the timeline.
I think he may have done The Machinist after and then did the Batman movie the first. Anyway, so I liked this movie a lot, and I would tell people about it. I'd be like, you know, it's not the best movie, but there are a lot of redeeming qualities to it, which, man, are we going to discuss.
All the redeeming qualities?
There's just so many redeemingnesses of this movie. When did you first see this movie, Rob?
You know, I think I just saw it fleetingly at first on the Movie Network, because it was like, what is this? And
that's how love at first sight starts, a fleeting glance across the room.
Well, I mean, honestly, it was like so many movies I sort of would experience this way. Like, I would see like a part of it, and also like at certain ages my parents didn't want me to watch certain types of movies, and my mom in particular was never a fan of like violent movies, so we would
only
watch...
when you're 14.
That's right.
But when you're 15, no more violence.
But we would watch those things at my dad's, but when we were at my mom's, we would have to sort of watch Touched by an Angel and The Waltons.
Creepy title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw part of it, and then I kept sort of seeking it out. And, you know, eventually I saw the whole thing, and I was like, this is cool. And
right? Yes.
You know, because maybe I am a bit of a contrarian, I was pretty nonplussed by The Matrix.
Oh, my
God. You know,
God.
I was like, okay... Yeah. This is a little bit too techno-ravey, and everybody's dancing around with their glow sticks, and that's all cool, and I'm glad you guys had your fun, but it's not for me. So I thought, maybe this is for me. It's a little bit darker, a little bit more serious. It has that, like, I mean, The Matrix is also a dystopia, but this is, like, more of a classic dystopia, like a literary dystopia. It's like 1984, or Brave New World, or... Those things blended
another book
together.
That they mention in this movie. Yeah, it's funny that you traded in the techno for like the rock guitar solo.
Yeah, well, there's still some techno-y.
Yeah,
it's the same. It's the same.
It's Matrix Lite for sure.
But Yeah, I don't know that I recommended it to everybody, but I did think that it was a really cool movie. And I hadn't seen it in a long time, but it occurred to me sometime that it was probably just a bit dumb.
Mm.
Like, it's this world where people aren't allowed to have feelings. And,
yeah.
You know, it looks an awful lot like...
They have to cross the tracks to just dance, you know? It's awful. No, wrong movie, wrong movie.
It looks an awful lot like Nazi Germany, you know? Which is in a very obvious way. I was like, that's a bit obvious now that I'm thinking about it, right? But...
Yeah.
So I thought it would be a good one to watch, and... That's it. You know, I just hadn't thought about it in a while.
It is dumb. It is dumb, Rob. It is dumb. You weren't wrong. I can't wait to talk about how dumb this movie is in a lot of respects. There's some cool things in it, though. There's some cool scenes.
Sure, we can debate that.
Oh, God. Okay, do you want to run down the plot of this movie? I think, you know, it's so new and fresh that I think many people will be kind of blown away by it.
Yes. Okay. It's the future.
Oh, shit.
2070-something. Bell bottoms are in. Big hair.
It's cyclical.
Can you imagine every century followed the exact same pattern?
Yeah.
It's like we're in the roaring 20s.
Yeah, we did for 1919 anyway. we were 2 years late, but
this, it starts with a sort of scary voiceover explaining about how there was a World War III, and there's all these like all this stock footage of World War II and, you know, the explosions.
My favorite part of this intro is that the writer like really wrote this voiceover guy into a corner where it was like, allow myself to introduce myself at one point where he's like, we survived World War III and the survivors knew that they couldn't survive. Oh, Jesus Christ. How many times am I going to use this word?
Who would write like this? You couldn't direct an actor in Shakespeare like this.
Just all these
Orson Welles.
Shakespearean actors.
We'll cycle back to Orson Welles, maybe.
Okay.
So they're explaining that in order to stop all the wars, they had to create this system of clerics and also not have any more feelings. And, you know, while they're talking about this, they're showing like a picture of Stalin and a picture of Saddam Hussein. And it's like, isn't it obvious what you should really be doing? Ban men from having mustaches. That's the problem, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Imagine that dystopia, will ya?
Well, our prime minister just shaved his mustache, so yeah. I think we're going to be all right.
Slippery slope. But so that's the future. Now, cut to, there is this building where these rebels are hiding out, and the cops... They're storming the place. They come out all, you know, they burst out of their cop cars. And these aren't just regular cops with, like, the ties and, like, the hats. These are, like, they're equipped in, like, black helmets and body armor. It looks like they're doing something, like, really severe or dealing with something, like, crazy, like evicting some homeless people from a park or something really fucked up like that.
This is going to be the local episode right here. You wouldn't download a shelter from a park. In Toronto, our police services use our taxpayer money to evict people from tents.
But
in
you
a
know
park.
What? I bet in America so or wherever stupid. People are listening to, they can relate, because where else is the militarization of the police force more apparent than in the United States? And, you know, but
yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
So. But, you know, these guys, they're not going to go evict some people from a park or anything like that. They have a much more noble mission. They are going to bust up some people who have things, like art objects. Like there's a guy with like a record player, and they just go in all guns ablaze. Like it's like just a million rounds being shot per second, and just concrete exploding and holes everywhere, and they just like murder a whole bunch of people. And if that's not enough, then, you know, comes time for like the real dude in charge, Christian Bale and Sean Bean.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know he's not long for this world. Enjoy him while he lasts. It's Sean Bean, not Sean Being.
Sean Bean there, done that.
But he goes in, and he does this like crazy thing where they explode the hinges off the door, and then he surfs into this dark room.
That's cool. That's pretty cool.
It's...
And then they kill the lights, and everyone shoots at him, but they don't hit him because, I don't know.
What?
They know he's in the middle of all of them.
What?
Why not just
he's doing the gun katas.
Okay, so gun katas.
Sidebar, gun katas.
Which is exactly what this movie does all the time. It like, anytime something comes up, like, sidebar, let's go to this guy explaining the world to the people that are living in this world all the time from a blimp. And he tells them about gun katas, that bullets fly in a formation like geese, and that you can just avoid them like geese, and then you can shoot everyone, and they won't know where your bullets are, because your bullets fly different. Because they're like ducks or something.
But that doesn't even make sense. How do geese get shot then?
With plastic Nintendo guns.
That's ducks. That's ducks.
Oh, shit.
This is why you would never survive in a dystopia. No, it's true. It feels very incongruous because, like...
Oh, man, yeah.
It's like two movies. It's like there's this one movie about feelings where Christian Bale has to not feel things while he's learning to feel things. And then there's this other movie where he has to, like, kick a whole bunch of ass.
It can be both. No, probably can't. Not in work at the same time, which this doesn't.
No.
But yeah, the gun katas are kind of explained as this thing is like, if you know math, you can figure out where bullets are going to go and you can avoid them. So I guess they learn math. Which, if someone told me that when I was in grade school, I would have been all over math.
Yeah.
That would have been really cool for me. But yeah, so he kills all of them, even though he can't see them in the room.
He just shoots all of them dead. They're just all dead.
Yeah, they're all dead. And it's okay. It's an okay scene. Like, I kind of like the surfing in on the door. That's kind of fun. Like, he's like, guys. Like, let me surf in on the door this one. And they're like, oh, okay, this cleric always likes surfing on the door.
Fucking clerics, am I right?
And then I kind of like the gun katas. The only time where it ever makes sense, the gun katas, is the end. When they're, like, close combat,
right,
trying to shoot each other, and, like, just narrowly missing each other while trying to shoot. That's John Wick territory. This did it first in that one scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I read, I might be spoiling something for the behind the scenes from you, Rob, but I read that the guy, Kurt Wimmer, came up with the gun katas in his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
that piece of trivia is highly flouted as if it's like an impressive achievement.
Yeah, I mean, I came up with martial arts in my backyard, too.
Yeah, right? We all did.
Like, didn't
none of us
we
got
all
on the
that?
IMDb trivia for it.
I came up with brick kata because that's what I had laying around.
Jesus.
I wasn't American, so
that's kind of intense.
Brick kata? Oh yeah.
Jesus.
But
Jesus,
yeah, you don't want to mess.
But okay. Mess but so bricks. The big thing that they find in this is they open up a hatch and they find the Mona fucking Lisa.
Okay, so first of all. They're searching for all these treasures to burn them because people being exposed to these things gets them all unequilibriumed.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you saw the Mona Lisa, you would be like, her smile is perplexing, and I am moved.
Just weep. You just weep. No, if you saw the Mona Lisa, it would be on a phone of someone in front of you trying to take a picture of the Mona
yeah,
Lisa.
That's right.
God damn it. There was like 300 people in that room and they all had phones up.
Louvre, anyway. More like the Louvre suck. Sorry, that's not a... It's insensitive.
Put that into your own Louvre. So, yeah. So, they have it hidden away. They have all this art hidden. Okay? No one can interact with it. No one in the wider world is seeing it. They're not ripping it to CDs and passing it off on a college campus.
Oh, Blaine.
They're just trying to make a few bucks to buy some weed. They're just hiding it. I don't... What? So, you won. Just leave it alone. You won. No one's seeing it. I don't know. It just seems a little stupid.
If they see the Mona Lisa... then society will collapse. It's like in Soviet Russia. Like, first they listen to jazz music, and then they overthrow the country, or however it went. It was something like that. But, I mean, there is some
precedence.
No one
can organize themselves to jazz.
There is some precedence for totalitarian regimes repressing culture.
True.
And, you know, for culture being destroyed or eliminated for reasons.
Trump trying to silence SNL.
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, there are plenty of examples, but that doesn't mean that the way that this movie does it seems intelligent. But they just burn the Mona fucking Lisa. They light it up. They make it into cinders. They And that's really going to mess up anybody who sees the movie Mona Lisa Smile. They won't get the reference.
No, I burned Mona Lisa Smile CD as well.
That was in your binder.
That was in the binder. Binder full of movies.
Binder full of women's movies.
Binder full of... Damn it. That was it. We got there. Sean Bean sees this, and he's moved. He is moved.
Yeah. Sean Bean has been feeling some feelings. He's just a little bit too sensitive for this world, and Christian Bale sort of notices. He sees Sean Bean taking a book of Yeats poems, and he's like, yo, what's up with that? He's like, oh, I was going to bring that to be incinerated, and, you know, you can't just trust these guys. And Christian Bale's like, okay. There's a lot of that in this movie where people give, like, bad excuses, and then people give, like, robotic sort of, like, okay.
Yeah, I know. I love how easily everyone is fooled. Like, Christian Bale does that with the dog later. He's like, oh, the dog can't burn the... Don't shoot the... Because the dog... Oh, guys, with this... I'll think of something. Just give me a second. They're all like, no, this is how he actually
talk.
Speaks.
It's a talking dog.
This is how he decides everything. This is how he speaks in his normal life. We believe him.
Yeah. But so Christian Bale is suspicious of Sean Penn, and he like does a whole the conversation
Sean
about Sean Bean.
I would be suspicious of Sean Bean. Yeah.
He does a whole like the conversation with Sean Bean and watches his tape over and over again to see if he's like feeling stuff. And it seems like he's feeling stuff. So he follows him out into the nether regions, which is like your crotch.
Right. Or Holland. Yeah.
And he goes to like this, I think it's like a church or something, and he sees him fucking Blaine. He's fucking doing something so disgusting.
Oh my
God. I cannot even say
it.
He is,
do I want to hear?
He is reading poetry.
Oh, what a nerd.
Yeah.
Loser. Why doesn't he watch a movie?
More like Jesus. Sean Suck.
Why doesn't he watch old movies?
Yeah.
Jesus. Come on now.
But this isn't going to work. And so
he's
Christian Bale's...
widening gyre. He's bad for him.
Christian Bale is going to turn him in. But, you know, he knows that it's just going to be... He's going to be executed. So he... There's this moment where they're going to do like a shootout, but Sean Bean is going to do the shootout while reading the poem because he doesn't want to take his eyes away from the beauty of the poems.
It's so stupid. First of all, this happens in a lot of movies where someone's like, nah, you should just kill me now. It's like, what? But maybe, you know.
Maybe kill me later.
Also, movies, people get rescued. You know, like, just hold out. There's a whole resistance that you're a part of.
I always think of that. I'm like, if I was, like, kidnapped and, like, you know, they were going to execute me or something like that, I would, like, resist to the very end, you know? but I think in reality, I'd probably wet my pants a lot, which would make it difficult to resist.
That is a form of resistance.
It's true. Gandhi, I heard, wet himself a whole lot.
Well, when he was older, but yeah, that was his resistance. Yeah.
Lack of resistance, maybe.
But like, yeah, that's the thing. In game theory, you just want to continue the game, right? And you just want to like live for as long as possible. So that's why people are killed in like alleys and in forests because and they're abducted from the streets when a gun is pulled on them because they're like, I'm going to go along with this as long as I can live until I don't anymore. You know, rarely do people go, you should shoot me through this poem. Anyway,
yeah.
Beautiful sentiment wasted.
You know what though? It is a great reading by Sean Bean. He has a very great voice for poetry.
It's true.
It's very stirring.
But I, being poor, I've only my dreams. I've spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams. I assume you dream, Preston.
I'll do what I can to see they go easy on you.
We both know. They never go easy.
Then I'm sorry.
No, you're not. You don't even know the meaning. It's just a vestigial word for a feeling you've never felt.
This sort of messes up Christian Bale. And, you know, he has, like, this, like, terrible dream. And he is, like, looking at his, you know, his... They all have to take this drug in order to stay emotionless. It's called Prozac. It's called Prozac.
Prozium.
Prosiums. That's the one, right.
It was like a mix between Prozac and
Valium?
Deuterium? Yeah, Valium. Oh, okay. That was it.
Yeah. And like at every, there's like an alarm clock and then everybody just like stops what they're doing and like shoots this thing into their necks. So if you thought getting your vaccine was bad,
just take a pill. Isn't there like time release pills in the future? Like, this is crazy.
I don't know. Apparently not.
Yeah.
But so he drops one of his proviums and it shatters on the floor. And this is bad because he has to take it. And he has these two kids, one of whom seems like a real, like, Hitler youth, Nazi, you know. He's a Nazi.
Right.
He's like,
yeah,
you
he's,
know,
yeah,
baby
he's,
Hitler. Yeah. He's like baby Hitler. And
twin kids over here, yeah.
He's the one who's like, I saw a little boy crying after class. Should I have reported him, Daddy? And then Christian Bale's like, undoubtedly.
Undoubtedly.
I'm Batman.
Okay, Dad, I know you're Batman, but should I have reported?
Aren't you impressed?
Did you notice that kid at the beginning that was like pointing people out of the line?
Yeah, that's right.
Was he just like looking to see who was feeling something and then pointing at them? What was going on
there? It sort of seemed like that.
But like in the rest of the movie, the kids are all in school. Like they're not up on soapboxes commanding commandos. To command people.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is just to show how, you know, twisted and evil this society is. I mean, this movie, they take everything basically from Nazi Germany. It's 100% Nazi Germany. The symbol of this country or whatever it is four hammers. But if you just slide the ends of those hammers and then rotate the symbol a little bit, it's a swastika.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, it's very obvious, which, mm-hmm. Fine, but it's, you know, I mean, I think that just explains why, like, everything. It's just like, oh, well, in Germany, there was the Hitler Youth, so in this, there's the Librium
Youth. Cleric Youth, yeah, something like that.
You know.
I don't know.
Yeah. But they're all very severe little boys with, like, their hair slicked back and wearing, like, black...
Slicked all, you know, the way back.
What are you doing? I said, what are you doing?
I accidentally dropped my morning interval. I took it out before I brushed my teeth. Never take it out before I brush my teeth.
Then you'll go by Equilibrium, log the loss, and get a replacement.
Yes. Of course.
Yeah, and so they, like, he starts losing it, right? He starts, like, getting a little emotional, and they find Emily Mortimer.
No.
No?
No. You got the wrong Emily.
Emily Blunt?
No. No. Keep going. Keep going.
Oh, Emily Hirsch.
Oh.
Sorry, that's email.
It's Watson.
Damn it.
Emily Watson. Blaine.
I should have used deduction.
That's the best Emily.
I think. She's pretty good
she's
Emily.
She's a great Emily. I mean, yeah. It's not really fair to compare, but I mean,
she's a good Emily.
Those eyes.
Yeah.
And she's in so many really great movies.
They really use her eyes because they zoom in on everyone's eyes in this movie over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The theme is being watched all the time. I don't know if you got that from this, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the themes. The eyes.
I think it's a stretch to say this movie has themes.
Hey, they did for my grade 6 book report. So they find her, and she has like this whole kind of hidden trove of treasures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a hardcore sense offender. So they are going to arrest her, and she's going to be incinerated, just like Christian Bale's wife we find out was. So it's all over for her.
Oh, yeah. Like, how bad is that, that, like, he likes Emily more than his wife, even though... anyway, this whole, like, love affair. Why does he have a wife in the first... Why does anyone have wives and husbands in this, if you can't feel love?
To propagate the state.
I guess, okay, I guess. But, like, wouldn't it be easier to just propagate using multiple people across multiple? Because sometimes people can't have kids easy.
Yeah, my question is, like, how they reproduce when everybody's on all of these hardcore antidepressants, right?
I would reproduce, but I just took my 5 o'clock shot and I can't get it up, so...
Damn it! I mean, I don't feel anything, but I'm frustrated. Or am I?
Oh, man. I'm
feeling so many things.
Yeah, the whole world is very, very inconsistent. But anyway, so he takes her in. She's going to be burned alive. But they really do take their time, you know?
They definitely do. Well, there's a lot going on as well, because he's got his new partner, Taye Diggs, who, like him, can sort of read people. They're empaths.
Oh, my God.
Blaine, I can tell that you're feeling down because I'm an empath. Oh.
Thanks, Diana Troy. No, if they can feel what other people are feeling, doesn't that mean that the Librium isn't working? The Prozium, whatever they're taking, isn't working?
It seems like it. I mean, at one point, he has, like, this conversation with the bad guy, or the vice bad guy, we're meant to think, played by Angus McFadden, and they have, like, this conversation where he's like, so, how does this thing work? And he's like, I feel what other people feel. It's like... Like a sense offender? And he's like, yeah, I guess so.
He's like,
but I'm not one.
But no one else feels anything, so you can't feel anything. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But also, like, meanwhile, this guy is, like, smirking and, you know.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna get you good. It's like, well, do you want to? Well, that seems like an emotion.
Yeah.
It seems like jealousy or anger.
Yeah, though, of course, like, you can imagine in a society like this, it's got to be, like, one rule for the people and one rule for everybody else. But, yeah, it does seem a bit hypocritical. But, I mean, they're trying to, like, track down the resistance. And Christian Bale, he's starting to have, like, all of these thoughts and feelings. So, like, at one point, they go to check out this place where there's going to where they suspect all these things are, and he goes in and he listens to a record of Beethoven, mm-hmm. and he cries.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's, you know, it's fucked up. And then, you know, he just has to go outside and watch them all burn this record and all this art. But then yeah. there's something that is even too much for Christian Bale's cold heart to stand, where they find a bunch of puppies.
Oh my God. And here is where John Wick really borrowed heavily from this movie.
Well, a couple of places, yeah, but definitely here, and in the killing all the people. But he's like, I mean, they're like, well, we've got to kill all these puppies because puppies make people feel things. And then they go in and they're shooting all these puppies, and it's like, meow, meow, pew, pew, meow, pew, ow, ow. And then one escapes.
I think I found my new ringtone.
And they're like, stop that puppy. And Christian Bale grabs his puppy and holds it up in front of his eyes and falls in love.
And then screams, Beethoven! Because he just listened to Beethoven.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. But he tries to, like, finagle his way into not having this puppy murdered. He says he has to, you know, take it to go get it checked for diseases. But this becomes a big problem later because then he has to go and figure out what to do with the dog. So he brings it to the nether regions to sort of let it go. But
He put peanut butter all over the nether regions just so the dog would leave him alone.
Yeah, but it won't go.
It won't go.
And he just can't leave it there because it has the big eyes.
He murders so many people.
So many people die. And I'm like,
what? Just let...
They have wives and families. I mean, they can't feel anything, but I guess it's okay.
Also, what's with him, like, killing them by just smashing their helmets' visors? What? They just, like, at one point he's going to shoot a whole bunch of them, and then he's like, no, no, no. I'm going to take the bottom of my gun.
Right.
And it has these little, like, things that come out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going
to
smash
a bunch of guys to death.
But, like, to death through their helmet. Like, what's going on there that he hits... smashes their helmet visor, and they're not like, oh, all the better to see you with. Like, I don't understand, like, how he hits them in the helmet, and they're like, I'm dead now. I'm going to lie down.
They
got me.
They weren't dead. They just lost equilibrium. Nobody dies in this movie. They just lose a sense of balance.
They're all just tripping.
That little bone in their inner ear goes all wackadoo, and they're like, ah!
I have vertigo. It's like all Lucille tour here.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, this movie is so ultra violent. It does the only other movie that I've seen that sort of it reminds me of it other than The Matrix is John Wick. Like, it's so ultra violent. There's so many bodies. I think the number is like 187. I didn't write it down because I just felt too heavy.
Maybe the only other movie like this is Ultraviolet, which Kurt Wimmer also did.
I didn't see that, did you?
No. Because it looked ultra violent.
I didn't see it because it looked ultra sucky.
Yeah, so he keeps on murdering people to try to save other people, mm-hmm. but then everyone dies anyway. I don't know. I got kind of fatigued watching all the people die in Waterworld, and I was like, there's 50 of you left. What are you doing? In this, like, yeah, you hit fatigue on these deaths really quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the techno music can't keep you awake. All of these moments, no. But, yeah, eventually he goes and tracks down the resistance. And he sort of, like, tells the vice chancellor that he's going to do this. Like, it's a big, like, I guess he wasn't doing it before. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go and track down the resistance now. He's like, oh, yeah, totally, go do that.
He asked for permission to do it, and he's like, I give you permission. Like, why? Wasn't this the goal?
Yeah. What?
So weird.
Anyway. But he goes to do it anyway, and William Fichtner is the guy in the resistance, not the sniveling sidekick or the sniveling bad guy this time, but actually the good guy. And, you know, he tries to convince Preston, that's Christian Bale's character's name, John Preston, to kill the father, the leader of this big society. Not a big brother, but a father. Mm. And then they'll do everything else to make sure that society changes and everybody's just, you know, it'll all just happen, man. It's just like you got to kill this one dude and then dominoes.
Yeah. Well, he says, like, as soon as you kill him, we have bombs set up at every major, like, point of pain for this regime. And as soon as you kill him, we can overthrow the whole regime by blowing up all these bombs and taking it all back. But it's
just
like,
do it.
Just fucking press that button, man.
What are you waiting for?
What is the big... What, so you can kill this one guy? Maybe he's round one of those bombs.
Yeah,
maybe
just
you kill
do
him
it.
With the bombs.
Just do it. Put a bomb where he is. Seems like
put
he
a
got
bomb
this
on
bomb
it.
Thing figured out. No.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Even if I could make it through, what guarantee is there it would accomplish anything? That anything would be different.
We have a network that's larger than you could ever imagine. Instant word comes that father is dead, that the council is leaderless. Bombs that have already been planted will be set off at the Prozium clinics and the factories around Libria. If we can succeed in disrupting the supply for even one day, our cause will be won by human nature itself.
What about war? The everyday cruelties that are all gone now.
Replaced by the Tetragrammaton.
He has to accept the journey. And he does it. And, you know, it's a big thing. Like, he turns in all the resistance members, and then he demands to see the father, and he's wearing this, like, you know, pure white suit, and they sort of take him up there, and he finds out that the father, the figurehead of this society who's been blathering on all through the movie about this and that, is actually just the vice counselor or chancellor or whatever the hell he was, who's been also blabbing on throughout the whole movie, but who Christian Bale like met like a whole long time ago.
They were just like indistinguishable to me. So when he was like, "Oh, it wasn't this guy, it was me," I was like, "Oh, I thought you were that guy. I didn't know really that was a whole other dude."
It's a bit tricky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so then he goes to the guy's...
Kills a whole bunch of people.
Palace, and there he has to, like, fight Taye Diggs, who is his partner, and who also was sort of, like, gunning with him. And there was a good reversal, too, where, like, Taye Diggs tried to turn him in, and then Christian Bale was like, "Ah, bud, remember how I said I was gonna turn in the mole? It's here it is. It's Taye Diggs." And then the leader's like, "Okay." And then they're like, "Ah, but actually, we were tricking you. I know it seems complicated and unnecessary, but..."
That's, you know what this is? It seems like Calvin Ball. It seems like those games that you used to play on the schoolyard where it's like, "Oh, he got killed." And it's like, "No, I'm back because I have robot arms." And you're like, "Okay." Like, that's how the script feels.
Well,
like
that's
it was written.
Fair. I mean, if he has robot arms.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And then they do like he kills Taye Diggs by slicing off his face. In like one of the most anticlimactic battles since like Raiders of the Lost Ark. And not in a good way.
Not in a good way.
No.
And then he does gun kata.
Yeah, he does gun kata with the other guy. And it's like, yeah, it's a fight. I mean, the other guy doesn't really look like he's that in shape. So...
No, I know. I know. They keep on shooting it from different angles, but you can clearly see he's like throwing a wild arm up and panting at the same time. Like, I feel bad for the
he's
guy.
He's struggling.
Just like, yeah, you're not meant for this role.
And surprise, he loses.
He does get shot a lot.
And
kata.
Yeah. And then
he
we
got
see.
Cotted.
The explosions in the distance, and the revolution is happening, and Christian Bale looks out. Oh, and I forgot to mention, his kid's not a Nazi.
Oh, yeah.
His kid was just faking it.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, anybody who can fake being a Nazi that well, and that's psychotic,
Nazi.
Right?
Yeah, that's probably... They're probably
I mean,
Nazi.
That's... Anyway, but...
And Emily... What's her name? Dies.
Yeah, she just dies. They put her in like a little Red Riding Hood cloak, and then Christian Bale just watches her burn.
Yeah. They're like, "I read some Margaret Atwood getting this costume."
Yeah, throw a handmaid in there too. Oh, for the ladies.
Silly. Okay.
Well, okay.
We should take a break.
Yeah. We have more. We have the behind the scenes and the trivia right after this break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Rewatchability. We are talking about Equilibrium and Blaine. I'm going to test your equilibrium.
Whoa!
With some trivia questions.
Oh, I thought it was like a wipeout thing.
Also, you need to stand on one foot.
Okay, cool.
No. Okay. So, these are some pretty tough ones, and if you don't get them right, you will be incinerated. So, and also, if you show any emotion, you will be incinerated. And if you do anything, you'll be incinerated. What is life but to be incinerated? Ashes to... Anyway...
That's so what Kurt, Texans are asking themselves. Okay, go on.
Kurt Wimmer has had a hand in some of the biggest remakes of the last several years.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering if you could name three.
Oh, three?
Three of those.
Maybe Children I'll give of the you... Corn.
Okay.
Total Recall.
Okay.
Fuck.
No.
Oh, no. I'm almost there. I can't get there because I'm on Librium or whatever.
Well, it was all or nothing, so you lose.
Damn it.
The third one was Point Break.
Oh, I knew it was dumb.
Yeah.
It was another movie they shouldn't have remade. God,
no.
Damn it.
No. I mean, I haven't seen his Children of the Corn remake, and I guess I haven't seen his Point Break remake either, but I think the reputation says enough.
Pointless break.
For it. Yeah. Very clever.
Thank you.
Okay, so you got a couple of those, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll show you mercy.
Okay.
You know. Okay. So Christian Bale famously portrayed Batman in the Dark Knight film series.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Now, which actor appears in a different Batman series as Alfred?
Is it the guy that plays the father?
No.
Fuck. I don't know, man. No, I knew that that the underground leader was in the bank robbery scene of Dark Knight.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice. I didn't notice that one.
But no, I don't. I don't know the other guy.
No, it was Angus McFadden who plays the DuPont.
Okay.
DuPont. So
he played Alfred. When did he play Alfred?
He played Alfred in the Gotham.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why no one would have known that.
Okay. But, you know, I can give you a chance to... You know what? I think I fucked that up. Wait. Here, let me... I think I fucked that up now that I'm looking at it. Maybe you're right, and I'm wrong.
I feel like Kurt Wimmer should have had this.
No,
epiphany.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I fucked it up. Blaine, I fucked it up. No, I'm getting incinerated.
No!
Okay, so let me clarify this. So, sorry. Alfred, yes, was played by Sean Pertwee. Sean Pertwee was played Alfred in the Gotham series.
Easy.
Angus McFadden played a different superhero related character in a different superhero related thing. But do you know who that is? Yeah, you don't. That's right. It's Jor-El in Lois and Clark. He plays Jor-El.
Yeah. In like Lois and Clark from the 90s?
From the new one.
Oh, from the new one?
Yeah.
I heard that's all right. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch.
No, me neither. Okay. So final trivia question.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And this one's for all the Beethoven records.
Okay. Sweet. I can leave those behind. I don't need this.
Whoa, you don't like Beethoven?
Not in dog form. Oh. Are you talking about, like, the composer?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in then. I'm in.
Okay. You wouldn't appreciate them. Okay. So, 2002, this movie was released. Name two other movies featuring Emily Watson Blaine that came out in 2002.
Shit.
No, shit came out in 2003.
Oh, no. Minority Report, was that her?
It wasn't 2002 if it was.
Fuck. Oh. Another one I had burned on CD. The one with Adam Sandler. The one with Adam Sandler where he hangs the phone really hard.
Grown-ups?
No. The one by the guy who made Magnolia.
Grown-ups 2?
No, the other one.
Come on, Blaine.
What's it called? Oh, it's driving me nuts.
Should I just tell you?
Well, that one. I heard on that one that you won't even tell the audience the name of. Horrible host. I just need the name. Oh, I can't think. But I heard on that one that the composer and Emily Watson were dating, and then they broke up, and he had to compose over the movie.
John Bryan?
All these love scenes. What?
Didn't John Bryan compose for that movie?
I don't know. Maybe it's apocryphal. It might be a lie. I spread lies on this show a lot. What's the movie called?
Punch Drunk Love.
It's Punch Drunk Love was one of them.
Do you know what the other is?
No.
It's Red Dragon.
Yeah, sure. I would have never gotten that in a million years. Punch Drunk Love will haunt me to the day I die that I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah.
I've seen Red Dragon. I remember liking the shootout between the door at the end. There's like a door and they shoot fire through the door.
Mm. But she's good in that. She plays, she's blind.
Okay.
She can't see out of her big, beautiful eyes.
All right, Rob.
Okay. So behind the scenes, one of the reasons why this movie was not a huge success was that it never actually got a wide release in the States.
It was so bad, or?
Kind of. It was released by Miramax. And
hey.
Right, a couple of real sense offenders there. But,
oh no!
But they made enough money overseas that they made a profit, and they didn't want to mess that up by releasing it in America.
Smart move.
Yeah, they were not very confident, though. I don't know. I mean. The fact that it has become a bit of a cult hit, I think, speaks for something. Even though nobody seems to have anything really nice to say about it.
No. I feel like it's one of those movies where, like, have you seen that? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I saw that. They're like, yeah. It's a cult not favorite.
If you look it up on Google, 99% of the results that you find are from, like, college essay writing services. About the movie. Probably the one that you used when you did your essay in high school, Blaine. Statute of Limitations
isn't
up on
that.
The service
I worked for? No. I need to get my weed money somehow. No one is buying Equilibrium.
Now, this movie, though they had lots of action, they did not use any wires. Did you know that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, sure, yeah. It looked like more people were on, like, trampolines and wires, I guess.
Okay, but so this movie is pretty low budget. I don't know if you could tell, but they actually ran out of money before they finished doing all the special effects. So sometimes people get shot and no blood comes out.
Good. That's great. I just want everyone to know the context for this is that I dared Rob to come up with any behind the scenes that would take us to the hour, that there was anything worthy talking about this movie. I mean, you're doing a pretty good job.
I'm doing the Lord's work here. But
a lot of dust there. No blood, just dust.
But Blaine, did you realize? Okay, but I mean, Kurt Wimmers, who you know, he's worked in Hollywood since. He's done a lot of screenwriting, as we said. He actually gave up directing, not because of this movie, but because of the problems that he faced directing the movie, you know, the one that you said.
Punch Drunk Love.
No, the other one.
No, it's impossible to remember the name of it. It's fine. I got you. Ultraviolet.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he says one of the things that he doesn't like about this movie is that...
One.
Is that... Him and the choreographer had some disagreements about the way that gun kata should be shown on screen.
Oh, my God. I want to be a fly on the wall for that conversation where he's like, no, 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 no. So watch this. This is me in my backyard. The choreographer is like, I don't know what I'm seeing. This is like an I think you should leave sketch. Can you? Jesus.
But he wanted it to be more flowy. He wanted it to be more maybe like Tai Chi, whereas the choreographer wanted it to have like this sort of ultra fast style. Like, I think at one point, like, it seems like they CG Christian Bale's arms, you know, so that he can shoot in all these different directions. It's really silly.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, apparently in Ultraviolet, the representation of the gun kata is a little bit truer to what Kurt Wimmer's I've envisioned. However,
oh my God, so he did the gun kata in this movie, no one liked it, and he went, no, that's, they didn't like it because it wasn't true to form.
Like, yeah,
I need to make another movie with gun katas to show the world what I actually meant.
Blaine, I'm pretty sure there's gun katas in Children of the Corn.
What are they doing to my corn? Damn those kids and their gun katas.
Yeah. I mean, it does have like the sense of like an idea that this guy had that like he really wanted to make work and doesn't really fit anywhere. I mean, maybe it fits in Ultraviolet. I'm not going to watch it. But he wasn't happy with how that movie turned out, so he stopped directing. He said he had no plans to direct ever again. Until this remake of Children of the Corn presented itself. And then I guess he couldn't resist because, you know, such a...
Money?
Yeah. Because money. Well, because, you know, gun kata doesn't pay the rent, you know?
It's like karate with guns. What don't you get?
And in terms of casting... They didn't really think of anybody but Christian Bale. That was the person that Kurt Wimmers wanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you see him doling out those newspapers, and you think he'll dole out bullets the same way.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, other than that, there isn't a lot of information out there that I could find on Equilibrium, unless you have an essay due.
Yeah, no, that's all I could find. I'm sure that the essays that would be written nowadays would be more along the lines of women representation. What?
Oh, yeah. I mean, except for Emily Watson, who, I mean, isn't really like, it's not the greatest role. There are,
it's
like,
horrible.
Basically no women. And, you know.
And she's just sexualized and made to be an object of lust and forceful lust at one point when, you know, she attacks him and he puts her down the table and is about to have his way with her when he, you know, takes another shot of Librium or whatever the fuck. It's just like, yeah, it was very masculine and not in a good way. I don't know if there's a lot of masculine good ways left. But this was not one of those roads.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could argue that the director is trying to portray this, you know, ultra-conservative society, and maybe women are even more repressed in their roles there, and so we don't even see them. They're not even considered. I mean, a bunch of them are just incinerated for feeling shit. I mean, they probably have to... They probably have to incinerate more women every month.
No, I knew you were going for it. I knew you were going for it. I wanted to put a full stop to it before you did it.
I got to take my Prozium.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's also like, it's just kind of like his wife, he incinerates his wife, and you can tell that he feels something for her. He does love her. And then in the end, he's holding on to like Emily Watson's cloth and sniffing that. Yeah. It was weird. None of the women were interchangeable. They were,
women are interchangeable, like, Christian Bale's wife is played by a different woman in true. Two different scenes.
It's true. They couldn't get her back. You know what? They did. They were like, we couldn't find her. That's what the trivia said. What? What she? What,
did they really incinerate her?
Was her agent incinerated? Like, it was just, what the hell? Like, I don't know. It just, the respect for women in this movie and in the making of this movie seems very low, and it all seems like every scene is kind of undoing what we learned about the scene before, about this world. Like, they'll be like, A equals B, and then in the next scene they'll be like, B equals C. You're like, what? Why? Why would you just say that? Anyway, I'm gonna say what I think of this movie.
Just put it out of its misery.
I'm gonna shoot this movie through a poem.
Two roads diverged.
And I went with The Matrix because it was the better movie.
I ate your plums.
So, yeah, this movie isn't a great movie. It's really mired in a lot of stuff that we know about now, we talk about now. Representation is a huge issue. Treatment of women is a huge issue. It's just like, it feels like a first draft script where no one read it and was like, well, but you're undoing yourself here. And there's ways out. Like, there are ways out throughout this entire movie of doing it. Like, they wrote goddamn fucking how many seasons of movies with Vulcans or you know, shows with Vulcans in them. And they did that just fine. You know, they're not really emotional. This movie just can't do it. Not even for a scene.
Explore the premise very well. It's just like, if you take the drug, then you have no emotions, or what they term no emotions, no positive emotions, anger, and, you know, that still seems to be okay.
That's all right, yeah.
But, and then the other ambition. End of the spectrum is, like, losing your shit, like Christian Bale.
Yeah, yeah. And I just feel like then wouldn't it have been great to, like, have Beethoven on at one point and do, like, a gun kata to that, where he, like, there's just so many opportunities that, like, they just...
Yeah, maybe he, like, saves the last dance, is it?
Yeah, right? Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, use art in some way to show that, like, it
to
has
murder
made
people.
You a better...
The way that Beethoven intended.
Yeah, it just kept on falling apart, and they try to, like, pile the pieces back together, and then Christian Bale would heel stomp them again. And Christian Bale was all right in it.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
Taye Diggs was all right in it. Emily Watson
great.
Was all right in it. Like,
you
were all right, but all the reversals made little to no sense. They're like, oh, we needed someone who didn't know that we were watching them the entire time, and we knew that you'd find out about your partner being in the thing, but like, his partner was already in the Underground Resistance. Why didn't you just use him instead of involving Christian Bale at all? None of it, all the explanations, it just felt like, aha! But like, without any real thought behind it. So anyway, I'm going to say not rewatchable. Though, you know what? It really did kind of put me back into university a little bit, into that first year of university. And I don't know, that was kind of some fun memories there. And
yeah.
So for me, nostalgia was kind of nice, but it's a bad movie. And I'm never going to watch it again. What about you, Rob? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to give it a fair chance. I mean, there are parts of it that I think are kind of fun. Yeah, it takes itself so seriously, and it's not really about anything at all. Like, movies that are about a dystopia or are going to evoke Nazi imagery should at least be, like, saying something. Like,
yeah.
This movie's saying, like, well, it's you should feel things. Nobody's saying that you shouldn't feel things. But also, I mean, like, Nazi Germany, they felt lots of things. They felt fervent nationalism. They felt lots of hate and anger, you know. They felt pride, you know, in themselves and lots of things. So it wasn't like a lack of emotion that was the problem there. They have a lot of emotion, you know. And also, like, what world is this where they're like, wow, there was, like, three world wars, like, how do we create a road to peace? Well, let's copy the aesthetics and style of the guy who started the second one, you know? Call Hugo Boss, you know?
Drive your Volkswagen in here. Also, their futuristic cars were just Honda Civics with nothing done to them.
Not so futuristic. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I just don't think that I have, like, a lot of... not stomach, because it doesn't make me queasy. It just makes me feel, like, numb, this sort of, like, ultra-violence where just, like, people are getting mowed down. And, yeah, like, he kills, like, 20 guys because they're going to discover this dog in his thing. Like, perspective, Christian Bale. I mean...
Yeah. I feel like they could have anesthetized the masses by showing them this movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it makes you feel absolute nothing.
Under this world's sort of premise, like, all these people aren't, like, necessarily complicit in the evils of the regime. They're, like, being drugged. They're being, like, mind-controlled, you know? Do they deserve to die? I mean, maybe with just fewer bullets, you know? Like, just, like, take it a little easy, Christian Bale. So, yeah, I mean... it's not a great movie. I think there are some things that are interesting about it, but it's really the best thing to watch if you're, like, in high school, right? Like, if you haven't really read 1984 yet, but you're going to get around to it soon. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you know, and you need your dystopian fiction to have a little bit more, like, ultra-violence and gun kata in it, you know?
You know what this movie reminds me of is, like, the person that embodies this movie is that person, like, your friend group in grade 8 that had the wraparound shades and, like, was just taking karate for the first time and was like, I can kill somebody.
Are you describing yourself?
I am. I knew that was coming. I knew you knew me back then. And I am. No, but it's like, it's trying so hard to be cool that it's almost painful to watch in certain, it's like cringy a little bit.
Well, and so hard, and yeah, trying so hard to be meaningful. Like, it's so deep because, like, we should feel things when we listen to Beethoven. And also, like, medication is important for people. I mean, if this movie is supposed to be, like, a criticism of the pharmaceutical industry, I mean, that's valid, but a lot of people depend on certain drugs to keep themselves, you know, in a good place. You know?
Yeah.
Not saying they're for everybody, but, you know, well, like, take your meds, people.
Like, you know, an equilibrium is an important thing to have in your life.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be fought against by an underground. Whoa, oh, my God. Yeah, so are you going to say this is watchable or not rewatchable?
I'm going to say it's not rewatchable.
That does not surprise me, nor does it bring me joy.
I have no feeling about this movie whatsoever.
This movie is like a flotation tank where you can't feel the water or the air because they're the same temperature.
Can you imagine watching this movie in a sensory deprivation chamber?
Oh, man. Can I watch something like The Fountain instead or something?
Anyway. Don't watch that. I hate that. Did you like that movie?
I mean, maybe we should do it on the podcast. I haven't seen it in a long while. I remember the visuals being really good.
I just hated that movie so much. I like the soundtrack. I listen to it sometimes. But anyway. Okay. Yeah, so that's rewatchability for this week. You can find us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to podcasts. You can communicate with us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. We're all there. And, we're there. And... you can, if you'd like to suggest a movie to us, you can hit us up at rewatchability@gmail.com or go to rewatchability.com, which is our fucking website, and go to the SpeakPipe link and record a little voicemail for us. And you could even hear your voice on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for you, Dominic, who keeps on leaving fart noises on our SpeakPipe. Stop it, man. Jesus.
Yeah. It makes me feel nothing at all.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.